I want to start out with a few confessions. First of all, I'm not a patient person. I like things done like this. I will be honest with you. When I get bills in the mail, I usually pay them the day I get them. And I'm just, I do not like to put things off. I like to take care of things right away. I don't like to wait. I don't like waiting rooms. I don't like to go into waiting rooms. I don't like to wait in line. But somebody in New York City, his name is Robert Samuel, has capitalized on people like me being so impatient and not like to wait. So Robert Samuel decided when iPhones started getting so popular and people were waiting in line for literally days to get these iPhones, he said, you know what? I can do this. I can do this job. And I can make some money at it. So he decided to take a person's place in line and take somebody else's place in line. Kept doing this until that day he had made $325 in one day just doing nothing but standing in line. So he started organizing this and made a company out of it. And they average about $2,000 a day waiting in line for people. That's all they do. But the big thing is that one day they made $14,000 standing in line. See, you've got a very important job. And I know that that you make good money, but I bet few of us make $14,000 a day. And most of you have enough skills to stand in line. Well, same old line dudes is what the name of the company is. Corporate. He's made a company out of it. So I just don't like, I'm not a patient person. I don't like standing in line. The second thing I want to confess to you is I hate shopping. And I'm a terrible shopper. I virtually, for Christmas, I have to shop for one person. It's not myself, but it's my wife. I have to shop for my wife. And I kind of like, I wish she'd shop for herself and I'd just pay her to do it, you know, but but that's a little bit dangerous. So I just don't like to shop. In fact, it's so bad when I go into a store. I was telling her this just 2 weeks ago. I told her, I said, you know, I walk into the store and I just kind of stand. I look there and I have this shopping anxiety. And it's almost like the color leaves my eyes and everything kind of goes black and white and it just kind of fades to gray and everything looks exactly the same. And so I'm thinking, what do I buy my wife? What do I buy my kids? You know, I go into these things and she says, you know, if you listen, I give you hints. And I listen to the hints, but you know, she said, you know, if she said I could use a new sweater, I go and all the sweaters look alike. And then yesterday was terrible. She said, can you go and pick up some lunch meat and some other things? So I get up to the deli counter at Walmart. She said, I want a pound of sliced turkey and a half pound of Black Forest ham. That seems pretty simple. Get up to the line, get up there, and the guy goes, can I help you? I said, yes, I'd like a pound of sliced turkey. What kind? I don't know. Sliced turkey. 14 different kinds of turkey. I said, I don't know. That one looks good. All right. What brand? I really don't care. He said, really? You had to pick one. I can't do it for you. I said, that one. How thick? Thin. He said, thin isn't good enough explanation. I said, what is? There are numbers there. You have to pick one of those numbers. I have no idea what I got. In fact, my wife just asked me, since it's snowing outside, she asked me right before the services, she said, where's that lunch meat that you bought? I don't have any idea. I hope it's not laying on the counter at Walmart. That's what I hope it's not. But I just don't do good at shopping. You know, I figure out what I want, I go in and get it, and I get out. All right. So, third confession. I like getting gifts. I don't like buying them, but I like giving them. Somebody gave me a gift a while ago. Pam said, so-and-so wants you to have this. It's for you. I said, it's for me. I didn't think it was. So I tore open the envelope, and I knew what it was. It was a Christmas gift for somebody else. That's a dirty trick. You know that? That's just a dirty... No, it was fine, because I knew it was coming. But I don't like to shop, but I like to receive gifts. And Christmas is all about receiving gifts. You know, we try to be real spiritual, say those things don't matter, but they do matter to us. And that's okay, because I'm going to tie that biblically to it today, because Christmas is about the greatest gift of all. So I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at what Paul said to the church at Galatia. And while you're turning there, understand that back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, we see a curse that is placed upon man because man has sinned. Because Adam sinned, and our sins have been passed down through Adam to us today, and we are all sinners. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says that the wages or the payment of that sin is death. The payment of that sin is death. So the gift that is given to us on Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end there. If that's where our celebration ends, we're in trouble. Remember, the wages of sin is death. We need somebody to come along and take care of that problem. So the rest of that verse is, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's where it begins. So in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, we're going to read this together. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Find it, and we're going to read along with it. The Bible says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." That's what Jesus gave us. Let's pray. God, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, let us make application of it today. And Lord, let us celebrate the Christ child and the Savior and the sacrifice that you gave us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for being with us today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we read in this, Galatians chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says something just very exciting about the Christmas time. It says, when the fullness of time had come. So what the Bible is telling us, that when everything was right, God had not taken his eyes off of them, but they were waiting 400 years without a word from God. So you know what they're thinking? God's completely forgotten about us. He's not giving us prophecy anymore. We're not hearing from him. Kind of like the kid on Christmas Eve. He's waited and waited and waited and waited for Christmas Day, and it hasn't come yet. And you think, man, Christmas is never going to show up. And so that's how the Jews were feeling about the Messiah. Well, he said he was coming, but we have no word from him. We don't know what's going on. But when the fullness of time was come, God said, when everything was right and completed. Now, what was right? What was completed? Well, there was peace on earth. Things had kind of settled down. Wasn't a time necessarily of war. They had built roads throughout the region, and so travel was a little bit easier for the prophecy that the Bible had taught was going to happen with Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and all these things. So the roads were built and everything was right. And the language spoken in that day was Koine Greek. So in that region, at least, they were speaking the same language, and everything was right where they could communicate. So it's like all the pieces of the puzzle had come together. So when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son. God sent his Son. Now, we buy gifts for each other for Christmas. We're exchanging gifts with each other in the room. We're giving things to people at home. We're doing all these gifts. I do like to give gifts, even though I don't like to shop. As long as Pam buys them, I don't mind giving them. But I've never given a gift like a child. Look what God gave to us. He gave us His Son. Now, I think we paint this as a picture that at Christmas time, we've got a beautiful manger there, and God sent His Son, so we have God in flesh, and He's in the manger, and we know He's going to live a sinless life, but we tend to see Him at Christmas time as this innocent little baby in a manger, and there's no harm at all. God is protecting him, and everything is great. But listen to me. That's only the beginning of the story. If the story ended that way, we would be in trouble. But the story doesn't end that way. God sent His Son. He's born in a manger, but He's going to be the sacrifice for our sins. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die. Somebody has to die. Jesus said, I will die in your place. I will shed my blood on the cross that you can have eternal life. That's where that verse goes. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus died. The gift of God is eternal life. He died. He gave us that gift. So listen, as you're opening presents on Christmas Day and maybe even on Christmas Eve, I want you to remember the greatest gift of all given to you that day was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not just the baby, because we tend to leave Jesus in the manger till we get to Easter, then we put him on a cross. What happens in between all of that? Well, if you're only going to church on Christmas and Easter, you're missing what's going on with Jesus and how He's lived a sinless life and what He's doing and why He's dying on the cross and then resurrecting that we can have eternal life. So God sent forth His Son, born in a manger, born of woman. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you want to Genesis chapter 3, because I want you to mark this first, because if you're going to go back and look at all this, I want you to have the whole picture of what's going on here, because we're linking Galatians 4:4 to Genesis chapter 3, in particular verse 15, because through Adam's sin, it's carried from man to us today. Born of a woman. Genesis 3:15 says, God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So God is saying to Satan this. He's saying, look, he said, because Adam and Eve have sinned, there's going to be death. But he says, Satan, when this is all said and done, I want you to get this. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Now, if you're walking through the house without shoes on late at night, you might stump your toe and it hurts and it's terrible. Nobody likes this. Very painful. Or you bruise your heel, it's painful. It doesn't feel good to walk on it, but it doesn't kill you. So the mortal blow is yet to be sent to Satan yet when the head was bruised and he destroys Satan. But Satan thinks of himself as a winner because man is now saddled with this responsibility and this debt of sin that is upon him. But you notice that when we read there, born of a woman, it doesn't say anything about Joseph. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit conceived and Mary now is carrying the God child, if you would. And so sin is carried down through the lineage from Adam, but there's no connection to Adam here. Because Jesus is virgin born, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, Jesus was born at the time when the Jews in a region where the law was so strong and they kept all the Jewish laws and they taught the law and nobody could keep those laws. And that's what the Word of God is there to teach us. It's a schoolmaster to show us that nobody can keep the law. If nobody can keep the law, what are we going to do? Well, we're born under the law, but then Jesus came along to set us free. Now, if you look at verse 3, what he says to us, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So the law has put us in bondage. We're tied to that. And we're as slaves under the law. We're slaves to sin. And we can't beat it on our own. But look at verse 5. He came to redeem those who were under the law. He came to redeem those. In other words, literally to go in and pay the price. Literally to go in and pay the debt. Imagine us, like if you could imagine a slave market where they take people, put up on a pedestal, and they would sell them like they were selling a piece of cattle or something, or an auction, and selling them off. And so when the auction's taking place, and we have the price of sin on our head, Jesus steps in and says, listen, I'll pay that price. I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to shed my blood, because without shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be put in the grave, and 3 days later, I'm going to do something that you couldn't do, Jerry Dudley, when he said to me, I'm going to come out alive. And he overcame that bondage of sin. Why did he do it? He did it to adopt us. Look at second part of verse 5. That we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and a son, an heir of God through Christ. He comes and he says, listen, and he said to me, he said, Jerry Dudley, he said, I want you to know that I love you so much that I gave my only son that he can not just be born in a manger, but live a sinless life, die a sacrificial death to satisfy Romans 6:23. And he's going to rise out of that grave, overcome death. Because you see, if I paid the price for my sin, I'd pay it for all eternity. But he paid it and rose again. And he says, listen to me. I want you to understand this. I love you so much, I'm going to adopt you as my son. You're going to become my son. Adoption gets a bad rap. Because people who are adopted think, well, I'm not as good as everybody else because I wasn't naturally born to this mother and father. I want you to understand something. I think it's better because I have 3 children that God gave me and I'm very grateful, very thankful for them. But if you adopt somebody, you go in and you pick them out. I want him. You ever go in and bought a puppy? You know what you do when you buy a puppy? You buy the cutest one, right? The healthiest one. Oh, we got to have that little kitten because it's just so cute and I want that one. God has chosen you and me and he's adopted us. He's adopted us. And when he adopted us, the Holy Spirit came to live in us and indwells in us. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and dwells within us because we are the children of God. And he makes us new from the inside out. You see, we try to make things new from the outside in. God came in to dwell in us and makes us new from the inside out. And we don't have to worry about him ever leaving us because part of that covenant that he made with us is to keep us. In John chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says that nobody can pluck him out of our hand, out of his hand. Nobody can take that away from us. He's adopted us as his son and we're his forever. My name is Jerry Dudley. My dad's name is Melvin Dudley. And no matter how big of a rascal I am always my dad's son. Always. Taylor Dudley and Drew Dudley are sitting right here. No matter how bad they might be, if they were to turn bad, if they were to do these terrible, terrible things, they could take a DNA test from me and from them, and it would prove that because of, what is it that's in our veins that connects us? The blood. Because of the blood, we are always connected. Because of the blood of Christ, we are always his. Because we are adopted and grafted in as his children. And he says something very interesting. He said that we call him Abba, Father. Only those who are a part of the family can call him Father, right? Only my children refer to me as Father. Because they're mine. Why would God say that I could refer to him as Abba Father? I'll tell you why. Because I am his. And you can be his. And he keeps us. And we are no longer slaves, but now sons. He went to that slave market and he bought us out. He said, that old sin, I'm going to pay the price for that sin. I'm going to take you into my family. You know, sometimes we say that, you know, Jesus saved us by forgiving us. No, he saved us by paying the price, and we are therefore forgiven. And we can call him Father. It doesn't just take us out and then said, okay, now you're going along your way now. No, we are heirs of his. If you were to decide that you wanted to be an heir of somebody, you would probably pick somebody like Bill Gates or Sam Walton or Warren Buffett or somebody who has a lot of money. He said, I want to be his son. Listen to me. You're not son of those men. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God, and you're special because God has chosen you, said, I want you to be my child. And he offered to you eternal life. Because of all of that, we who are believers, like the Jews who were looking forward and waiting for the birth of Christ, waiting for the Messiah, the Christ child, we anxiously await for the return of Christ. We wait for and we look for the rapture. But in the meantime, what is God doing? I'll tell you what God is doing today. There's somebody sitting here today, or some person sitting here today, who never has accepted Christ as our Savior. And you know what God's waiting for? He's waiting for your response. He's waiting for you to say, you know what? I believe that. I accept that. I want him to be my Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. His blood was shed, that he was put in the grave, and then 3 days later arose and became victorious, that I might have the gift that Jesus offers me at Christmas. We are heir of God. God is waiting for you, or you, or you, to accept him as your Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what do? We accept the gift of Christ. We repent, and we turn to him. Would you do that today? I promise you, it'll be the best Christmas you've ever had. It'll make every Christmas for now on special in a way that you can't even imagine it. It'll change everything in your life because he will come inside and live inside and clean you from the inside out, not from the out in. You know, we're going to offer an opportunity for you to do that. We're going to have a verse, a song, and during this song, Pastor Buddy can stand right here. I'm going to stand right over there. If you want to talk to one of us, come and whisper in our ear. We'll pray with you. We'll introduce you to Jesus. You can come and you can kneel in this altar. There's probably people that are coming to your mind. You think, boy, I want to get somebody a Christmas gift. I don't know what to get them. What am I going to get them? How about telling them about the gift of Jesus? How about begin today praying that the Holy Spirit would begin convicting their heart that they can make a decision to accept Christ. But you know, God is waiting on some of us as we wait on him. Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lord, there are folks that are waiting for the return of Jesus. Lord, I know someday that's going to happen. Lord, I know that God is waiting for some of us to trust him as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that as we sing this song, your Holy Spirit does his convicting work upon hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that's lost, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their need for that great gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.